Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about transitioning from being miserable as a certified public accountant to being happy and fulfilled as a professional organizer. Isn't that great? Today, you're going to be meeting Gail Gruenberg, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who specializes in serving clients who are living with chronic disorganization. Welcome to the show, Gail. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Susie. It's really lovely to be here.
It's so great. I know we're going to have a really fun conversation today about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're also going to be talking about your business, what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in the way to some degree or another. You know, maybe for your life, maybe for your business. We're going to talk about all that stuff. So let's get started first with how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, what your entrepreneurial journey was like. And of course, what it is you do in the world. So take it away.
Thanks so much. Well, I am 55. I turned 55 this year. And I have been an entrepreneur basically my whole life. I started, honestly, shoveling driveways with my brother when we were probably in our single digits. And it just felt so good to make $2. But I also come from a long line of entrepreneurs from both sides of my family. So I would have to say it's been in my blood.
I love that. I love that. You know, I also started the first thing I did. I mean, I worked for other organizations for almost 30 years, but I first did some calligraphy for bar and bat mitzvah invitations and wedding invitations when I was 12. And that's where I kind of got the bug. And I have wanted to be an entrepreneur ever since.
I just find it like fulfilling my life's goal as an entrepreneur.
That's so great. But you know, you went from being an accountant to being an organizer. So tell us a little bit about what that was like. How did you get into that career in the first place? Your original career?
Oh, accounting?
Yeah.
Well, as a short answer, basically it was the professional school. I didn't have to leave the state to attend. So I got an MBA in accounting and I was already married at the time. For various reasons, it was a good idea that I did this. So for a while there, it was a little touch and go with the working and going to school and all of that. But we made it work. And I became a CPA soon afterwards. I said, that's it. No more school. I'm getting pregnant.
And then that took you down a whole new path.
It did. So, of course, I was working as a CPA while I was raising my small children, and it was good for a little while.
That's great. And when did you start to realize that professional organizing was the way to go? Because it's quite different.
It is. Actually, there's a long story with the transition there. But basically, I first started to realize that I just didn't like being an accountant. It was fine for a while. And then literally, I remember sitting with my dad and my stepmother in the office of our financial advisor at the time with a little voice that whispered in my ear, I don't want to do this anymore. And I thought, okay, I better listen to that whispering, because when your gut tells you something, you really do need to listen to it. So a little bit, I forget exactly how long it took, but I realized, you know, this isn't for me. And one day during a busy season, which at the time was in September, because we had extensions for corporations, and September was the filing deadline, I literally had like a nervous breakdown.
Oh.
And I said, my kids were small at the time. I think my daughter was 2 and my son was 4. And I said, I just can't do this anymore. I need to be with them. I need to have a better life. I need to know that it's actually daytime. I need to know what season it is.
Wow.
I can't do this anymore. So I took off a month, the month of November of 2003, as it was, because it's very slow for accountants in November. And I thought, all right, I want a crystal ball. I need to figure out what I want to do with my life. What do I want to be when I grow up? And literally, it was like a stroke of lightning, a lightning strike. I had been corresponding with a former colleague who had left the firm I was with at the time, a little bit before I left. And she said, you know what, Gail? I'm in this networking group and I know this professional organizer and you'd be really good at that. Like, oh, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I want to do.
Now, why did she know that you'd be good at it?
She was essentially my boss at the firm before she left. And she knew I had organizing skills because I liked everything in a nice straight line and everything was labeled and neat and tidy and organized. And she just thought, you know, these are really good skills. So use them.
I love that you had insight, like to listen to your gut. And sometimes it's easier to respond to ideas than it is to create the ideas. So you saw that right away, right? Like it was given to you and it just seemed magical. I know exactly what you mean, like a lightning strike of an idea. There's such clarity out of nowhere.
Yes.
And there it is.
I'm so grateful.
That's amazing. How lovely that she was thinking about you that way and she really recognized your skill. I mean, she was a boss who really recognized her employee's skills or her partner skills or whatever their arrangement was. Yeah, that's amazing.
She did. And I don't think she even knows how she has impacted my life.
Ooh. Wow, that's huge. Well, you could tell her.
I could, but I don't know where to find her.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I had the opportunity. I have another podcast called Women in the Middle. And I, early on in the first year, the beginning of the second year of that podcast, I thought, I'm going to get my mentors on here. And I got four of the women who've been very influential for me. And they each did an episode and I had a chance to tell them exactly why they were such powerful mentors for me. And also I asked them about their mentors. It was fantastic for me to be able to give that to them, for them to be able to hear it, and also just to share who had been mentors to them. Like, it was so exciting. I loved it.
That's so beautiful. And it certainly shows though the power of women and how we can support one another, how far go.
You're so right. You're so right. All right. So now you are headed in the right direction. And as soon as you took a certification or something.
Yes, absolutely. I've loved my education in organizing. I am a certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization, as well as a certified virtual organizing professional, which is much newer.
Huh.
So I got the CPOCD in 2011, but it's called the CVOP in 2020.
So that's your ability to have clients on Zoom?
Yes. Zoom, FaceTime, the phone. It's a real skill that takes a little getting used to.
Oh my gosh. That's so interesting. How does it work? Like, is the client sitting there like we are right now? Or do you walk around with a video camera looking at nooks and crannies and horrible closets?
It's a bit of a hybrid. We may start out chatting because we need a little transition and the client needs to get grounded a little bit before starting the hands-on stuff. And then multiple screens actually make it a lot easier. There's, of course, the full straight on is great. And then if somebody has either an iPad or a phone or potentially both to see different angles and a depth of field makes it almost as if I'm there.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Ooh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So you also mentioned that you really went from being miserable and you described that really well to now being so happy. And I can actually see it in your face. Like you have the biggest smile. Now I know as listening to the podcast, you are not benefiting from Gail's beautiful smile in my Zoom square right now, but she's lit. She just lit up. It's really fun. So tell me what it's like for you now to run this great business. What do you do? How do you find clients? And why are you so darn happy?
Thank you. Well, I'll go in the reverse order.
Perfect.
I think I just tend to be a happy person. And I will say thank you, God, for giving me that ability. That actually is a very significant part of my personality because I try to practice gratitude. And I know that gratitude is one thing that infuses happiness.
Yes. There's so much research about that now too.
Yes.
So if you don't have a gratitude practice, even if you're not just hyper aware that gratitude is an option for you to have more often in your life, it is such an important thing to look into. So I'm so glad you mentioned that and that it's helped you. It's great.
Thank you. It really keeps me positive and helps me to get up on those gray mornings when it's like, oh God, what am I doing today? Who am I? Where do I have to be? So with that, okay. So I'm still essentially the chief cook and bottle washer of the business.
Yes.
However, I'm always looking to expand. So I have tried to share the administrative responsibilities with a client care manager whose name is Loretta. And she's basically God's gift to me right now because she has taken stuff off my plate so I can be either in the field more or out networking and creating connections with what I call pipeline partners so that I can receive referrals. And as for how people find us, much of it is by referral, as well as people are still doing searches online. So SEO is extremely effective. And the fact that I specialize in the chronic disorganization stuff, which to the rest of the world translates to hoarding.
I didn't realize that. Okay. I was just going to ask you to tell us more about exactly what that means. I thought it was just people who have this mindset that they're a big mess and they just can't organize, but it's more than that.
It actually is. It's not necessarily a clinical diagnosis the way hoarding disorder is. But I would say that hoarding disorder is part of chronic disorganization, but chronic disorganization is not hoarding. Mm. What CD is there's a real definition according to the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, which is how I got my certification. It's four or five pronged in that someone has been disorganized most of their lives. They have an assumption of being disorganized without outside intervention. They have tried every self-help thing out there, potentially to no avail, and disorganization negatively impacts them on a daily basis. And CD could be the result of a brain-based challenge like ADHD, depression, anxiety, OCD, traumatic brain injury. Any number of things can impact CD. So that's where my training has been focused.
That's fascinating. So clearly, not all organizers are the same and not all clients are for you.
That's absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. That's a very specific niche. So how would somebody with chronic disorganization label themselves? What would they be saying about their situation?
They could use various kinds of language. They might say, I'm a pack rat. Many people say, oh, I'm not a hoarder. I'm just a collector.
Mm.
they may say something very telling, like, I just can't get it together. I've always been like this. There's no hope for me. My life is spiraling out of control. I don't know what to do. I know what I need to do. I just don't have the time to do it. I don't know where to start. Okay, it's all right. I get it. We'll do it together.
Would they be reaching out?
Sometimes when it's like the Anayi Nin quote, when the pain becomes too great to handle, and hers is more specific, like when the pain of staying in the bud is worse than the pain of blooming. So if they feel enough pain from their disorganization, they will eventually make the call.
And I was wondering too, is a lot of your business referral based?
It has been in the last few years.
Like getting you to help one of their friends or loved ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And even from other organizers who say, I can't handle this. This is for you.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So networking is really important for all of us, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. Tell me, are most people, I don't even know if you can make this generalization, but is it usually somebody in a home or an apartment or a condo, living alone, living with people? Like, what does it typically look like?
Oh boy, that's a really, really good question. To really answer that, I would say a client could essentially be anyone. Like you could go down the street and say, okay, that person has ADHD, but how would we even know? So a client could be an older woman who's a widow or divorced, or her children have moved away. It could be, lately I've had gentlemen who are widowers, which is very unusual because mostly I work with women. It could be a wonderful 35-year-old woman who had, she had vascular cellulitis. We started working together when she was 35. So, and that would be a traumatic brain injury because she had brain surgery. But underneath that, she had all of the alphabet soup that we talk about, like the ADHD and the OCD and maybe a little bipolar and the depression and the anxiety, and like everything in a pyramid. It could be a young mom with kids. It could be a wonderful, talented doctor or attorney. So
it's anybody.
Yeah.
You know, something that has come up in my community of working with midlife women is when they lose a parent and they inherit, have the responsibility of going through stuff and then inherit. And I've had clients who've inherited more than one parent's stuff, and it's very overwhelming. So I've seen incredible stress, and that's been the thing that tips the bucket.
Yes. And it could be multiple generations.
Yeah.
Be grandparents, great grandparents, and the basement just gets piled with stuff, or the exactly. attic or anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But for sure.
Yes. It's a tipping point.
Yeah, it really is. And I've had a situation too, when I was with my mother-in-law, and we were in a closet of hers where she was downsizing some stuff, and she had all these silver platters, you know, as grandparents usually have. And I thought, oh, she had a lot of them. And I thought, oh, I'll take one for each of my kids. And I wasn't the only one. There were a few of us looking at the stuff, and I was the only one who said that. And I said, well, don't you want silver trays? Like, I really treasured them because I was thinking of my grandmother who loved them. And I was told, yeah, the kids don't want this stuff. And I'm like, wow, you're right. My sons would laugh at me. Like, they were like, what are you talking about? Even I took one and I polished it all up, and I had it on the island. I have not a super modern kitchen, but a more modern kitchen. And I had this antique silver tray on the island, and I loved it. Everybody hated it. They didn't like the way it looked. They didn't like that it was heavy. I had, like, you know, things in it, contained on it and in it. It was decorative and useful. It was the weirdest experience. And I had the same thing happen with a silver tea set, which was my grandmother's, and I was excited to have it. And I was asked if I wanted to sell it. And I'm like, no, I remember exactly where grandma used to have this. And a lot of people, I guess what I'm getting at is that some of us are very nostalgic, and then that ends up being a problem, I'm sure, that you're dealing with. And then there's decision fatigue. And then there's just a lot of stuff that we need to help sort through with other parents. And it all ends up being a midlife woman's problem.
Yes, it does. And you've so nailed that right on the head, especially the decision fatigue.
Yeah, it's really tricky to make decisions. I've had other women in my community talk about decisions when they were going through stuff too. And one of the things that came up was they didn't want to just get rid of it. They wanted to make sure that it was going to be used, that somebody cared about it. And then that became a real goal. But any way you cut it, I think your job is really interesting. And I've got one question I'm dying to ask you. Do you have a bad corner or a bad closet that's got stuff that you just can't deal with?
Yes, and
not as bad as everybody else's.
I would say that, okay, organizers are definitely real people, mm-hmm. and we have the challenges everybody else does too. So yes, life can get a little bit crazy and out of control sometimes, and things can pile up, but I think it bothers me sooner than it bothers other people.
Yes, I can totally see that. I can totally see how that's true. Yeah. So you are doing very important work in the world. And I, you know, what I'm really fascinated by in this podcast is this collision between what it's like to be a midlife woman and dealing with all the stuff that comes up while you're trying to run a business. So women take on so much, and there's so much going on, but you're still trying to run a business. You're still trying to get clients. You're still trying to serve clients. So what's it like for you? What is going on? What are the midlife challenges that you're facing?
I think lately, meaning within the last few years, and okay, so yes, I'm 55, so I'm 5 years after 50, where, and I will just say that I had heard that life begins at 50, and I am a 100% believer in that.
Yeah.
There's like this no BS feeling, I think, that comes with reaching into one sixth decade, which I'm so loving. Like, I can actually speak my truth and I can get away with it now. Wow, this is awesome. I should have done this 20 years ago. But one of the things I would say is it can get very tiring doing everything, which leads me to a path of mindset of self-care.
Yes.
Yeah.
How's that showing up for you?
Well, I personally think that I think we all have to be a little bit more cognizant of our self-care as we go past 50. We might have taken all kinds of great things for granted before we hit 50, but now it's like, okay, I think I need to be a little bit more careful with everything I do. And that to me means I have to make sure that I'm sleeping better. I need to hydrate much more than I ever did before. Take better care of my skin. I went to the dermatologist this morning. Make sure I eat well, proper fiber, giving up meat, which was a gradual thing. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not vegan. I love fish and eggs and things like that. And I love cheese.
Oh, don't get me started on cheese.
Yeah. Meditation. I'm learning to meditate and Reiki and positive self-talk and emotional freedom technique. I mean, this might sound like woo-woo stuff, but it all really helps a lot.
Well, and also what you started out with is sleep and hydration. I mean, so many midlife women who are entrepreneurs and trying to also prioritize family and all the things, it comes down to fueling your body with quality food, trying to get enough sleep, and drinking enough water. And going to the bathroom when you have to go to the bathroom. You know how many times that comes up? We feel too busy to go to the bathroom.
I believe it.
And then there's problems.
So true. Yes, I've had kidney stones. Yes, it's not fun.
It's so true. Okay, so those are the basics. But I know in your notes, you listed a few other things, which is really interesting. So balancing the needs of children. And I would even say young adults. And you mentioned you've been a single parent for a long time. So that's a lot. And then the brain not turning off, because as entrepreneurs, we're pretty excited about what we're doing and we have a lot of thoughts. So that factors into the sleep and the spinning and the worrying about kids and all of that, even the young adults.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 100% accurate. I could give an anecdote of just the other night. I was lying in bed. Actually, it wasn't even night. I got up at 4 a.m. to feed the cats. And there was a notification on my phone that my daughter had just gotten to bed. Like, oh, this is not a good thing. But I'm like, okay. So, you know, thankfully we have these phones because there's the Find My app, and I know, okay, so she's over here and she's fine and she's the designated driver and she's 22. So, but yeah, it's like it's always on.
It's always on. Yeah. And then there's the aging parents. And you mentioned that, and I want you to talk about that a little bit, but I'm glad you mentioned the two aging cats, because thank God for our amazing pets. They're so amazing, but a lot of times they are getting up there with us. They're aging right along with us.
They are.
And it's a lot to also worry about, because when they do age, it gets a little more unpredictable with care, which is really the same thing going on with aging parents in terms of the unpredictability part. So what's going on with your dad? Does he live close or far, like with your aging parents?
About an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
Which is not, you know, thankfully, if I'm in New Jersey, he's not in Florida. So an hour and a half is doable. But even so, it's not around the corner. So God forbid something happens, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get there. Mm-hmm. Which I'm preparing myself for mentally. So it's not a shock.
Yes, that's a thing. It's like we know these things are going to happen, yet it's usually a shock because it's unpredictable. And then you mentioned, I love sea life, and I love that you used an octopus analogy in your notes about being pulled in several directions and not being able to focus. But there's another part of the focus problem. So it's not just that you've got a lot of competing demands, but as I was saying about entrepreneurs, we have ideas. We're thinking, we're plotting, we're all excited about these new ideas, and this shiny object syndrome or fear of missing out, whatever it is, can really add a little bit of drama, a little bit of excitement, and easily a little bit of overwhelm. So what's this whole, oops, there's a squirrel shiny object situation for you? I've got squirrels happening here too, big time. In Canada, we have black squirrels. We don't just have gray squirrels, we have black squirrels, yes.
Oh, yes. I was in Toronto a few years ago, and yes, I loved Toronto, but yes.
Oh, that's great. So what's that like for you with the ideas and the being pulled?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's exactly as you described it. And I think I work through it every day of like, okay, like getting up saying, who do I need to be today? What do I get the opportunity to do? What am I actually capable of accomplishing? And I literally have to think myself through it, even though I'm an organizer and I am very linear and left brain, there's still a limit as to what can be accomplished in 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I have to prioritize.
Yeah. And how good a job are you with the prioritizing? Like, do you find there's a resistance there that you still think you can do more than you can do?
Yes. And yes, I definitely think I have more energy than I do by the end of the day, more brain capacity than I do. Although, you know, as entrepreneurs and women now, I think we do maybe have more energy and more brain capacity, but still, like you're saying, you know, you can't fit 50 pounds of something into a 10-pound bag. And as a very linear person, I do things like make lists and color code them and categorize them and say, all right, you know, this is important versus urgent. And this is my A number one priority, and then A number two, and then B1. So I do those things and they do work, but then sometimes they don't.
I guess, yeah, I totally hear you. And what I've noticed, the better I get at mindfulness, is that I'm better at catching an urge. So in the old days, I wouldn't recognize it as an urge or a compulsion but it's all based on thinking that you should be able to do more. It's funny. I have a new podcast coming out tomorrow. So it's probably in the past if you're listening to this podcast, where I talked about the idea a little bit is that we kind of pride ourselves on being youthful. So most of us think we're a good 10, 15, 20 years younger than we are. Like we think that's how we feel. We feel maybe like we're in our 30s or 40s rather than, so I'm 59, rather than the age that I am. And sometimes that kind of gets in the way of what's going on physically and specifically with energy, you know, and I've had a lot of women talk about this on this podcast where they've noticed that they really are pretty much done energetically speaking later in the afternoon, or they're really craving the mornings to be slower or more focused on self-care. But there's a disconnect between actually creating a calendar that accommodates your, like the reality of what's going on for you physically and emotionally. So we just have an urge to do more or a thought that we should be doing more. And then all of a sudden we're staying up till 2 a.m. to finish something or whatever, right? What would you say about that? Is that what you're getting at a little bit?
Oh, very much so. Yes. And I think the words that I have definitely just picked up on were the mindfulness part and the shoulding part.
Yeah.
Like definitely being mindful and knowing oneself. I think it's essential, especially as we are advancing in age. And like you said earlier about listening to those whispers and recognizing the urge and just stopping and saying, oh, this is going on for me. Okay. So I'm going to make a conscious decision as to how to handle that.
Yeah.
And the shoulding, I know in, like, you know, in coaching, we should not should on ourselves. We should not.
No, we shouldn't, but we do. We love it somehow. We're doing it all the time.
Yeah. Because there's someone out there saying we have to be a certain way. Like, we don't fit that mold.
Or somebody said it 30 years ago and we still believe it. So yes. This is why one of the things I'm talking about a lot now is this concept of, like, I've been in the space now working with midlife women for almost a decade. And I really think we need a new midlife operating system. The old operating system, it doesn't work for us now. So a lot of these ideas we've been thinking and acting upon are decades old.
That's so true.
Right? We may have read it in 17 magazine.
Oh gosh, yes.
Back in the day, right? Like I loved that magazine. Like, who knows? 17, yeah. Glamour, all those magazines, even Tiger Beat from the 70s.
Oh my gosh.
That was where we picked up some of these ideas, right? But we're still thinking them, having feelings based on what we're thinking and acting as a result of some of these old thought patterns and narratives that just don't work anymore. So I've really been working with this concept of new midlife operating system, and I think I'm onto something. So I'm going to be talking more about it.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Amazing. So tell me, what's been surprising for you on a positive side of turning, being on the other side of 50?
Oh, I know in our prep, we talked about the fact that I'm surprised my hair is not grayer. That is surprising. Let's see, the positive stuff. Definitely being able to speak more openly. And well, I'm very much an introverted person, actually. So I have very pleasantly discovered that I don't have to be. It's been I've worked on myself for a really long time to be more extroverted, but I don't have to edit myself anymore. I do have some gray hair. And one of the things my brother is fond of saying, courtesy of a teacher we both had in high school, I have enough gray hair now to do this and to say this. It's like, yeah, you know what? Call me ma'am. I'm okay with that because I'm going to tell you the way it is, whether you like it or not.
I know sometimes my kids are like, mom, I didn't ask for your opinion. I'm like, that's okay. I'm going to tell you anyway, and you don't have to listen to it.
That's right. I've earned this honor. I have put in the time and the effort and the energy and the self-work. I know what I'm talking about now.
It's so true. Okay, so tell me, what is the name of your upcoming book?
Ah, the name of the book is called Get the Big O Organized.
And we're all having a flashback right now of, was it Sleepless in Seattle? That with the orgasm scene? Yeah, that's so good.
Oh, yeah. I've been to that deli.
Oh, that's so great. So how can people best get in touch with you? And learn about all the things that you're doing and more.
The best way is to visit the Let's Get Organized website, which is lgorganized.com.
Amazing. That's amazing. And is this book available?
It's out.
That's great. That's amazing, Gail. Thank you so much for taking the time from your day and sharing all of this good stuff. I really appreciate how honest and authentic you were about what's really going on, not just in the world of organizing and your business, but also how you're tackling some of these issues of being in midlife as you're running your business. So thank you so much for sharing.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.